It is always a privilege to be able to come around the Word of God like we often do. And we must never take that for granted. What a blessing. Praise God. I welcome you, whatever platform you are joining us on tonight. I pray that the blessing of the Lord will be upon you as we get around His Word, that you will receive illumination in your spirit, that the light of God will shine upon your heart, your path, and that everything that the Holy Spirit intends and intended for this service will be made available to all of us in Jesus' mighty name. Whatever platform you are joining us on, I pray that there are no hindrances, no limits, no distractions, no obstructions to your ability to receive clearly. And I do trust God, as we prayed for you before this service tonight, I do trust God that the tangible presence of God will be manifest in your life and around your life in Jesus' mighty name. Please bow your heads and let's share a word of prayer together as we get going tonight. Father, thank you so very much for tonight. And thank you for another opportunity that you have given to us. This your precious saints and all of us to be able to come together around the Word of God tonight. Lord, this is such a privilege and we do not take it for granted. Our hearts are set upon you. We look up to you. Holy Spirit, welcome. Thank you for your presence that is already here with us. I ask God that you will grant us grace, illuminate us in our spirit beings and help us receive understanding tonight. Grant me the tongue of the learned. Help me to speak your word unhindered, unbridled, unlimited, undistracted, unobstructed, in the name of Jesus. Grant me clarity of thought tonight. And when it's all said and done, help us all to have known you more, that you reveal yourself to us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Welcome again. Thank you for joining us tonight. We are studying, and we have been for a few weeks, what we have titled, Knowing God More, Dwelling in the Secret Place. Knowing God More, Dwelling in the Secret Place. And we have been at this for a few weeks. And last week, we started to really get into the meat and the bone of how to actually get to know God more. We started discussing the four major ways through which we know God more. If you've been taking notes the last few weeks, you know that we have repeated this over and over, and I'm trusting God that it becomes an indelible revelation within each and every one of us, that every time we need to remember, it just comes to us like that in a flash, and that this becomes experiential knowledge in our lives in Jesus' mighty name. Let's go over that. What are the four major ways through which we get to know God more? Number one, we know God more through cultivating habitual fellowship with Him. We took some time to study that last week, and I'm not going to do a whole lot of review. So if you were not there, please avail yourself of that teaching. We know we have it available on our different platforms. But that's the very first one, cultivating habitual fellowship. Knowing God more through cultivating habitual fellowship. The second one, which we're going to get into tonight by God's grace with the help of the Holy Spirit, knowing God more through desire and zeal. Knowing God more through desire and zeal. Glory to God, I'm excited about that. The third one, the third major way in which we get to know God more is knowing God more through revelation and experience. Knowing God more through revelation and experience. And the fourth and last one that we're studying in this series of teachings is knowing God more through sharing in his nature and sharing in his purpose. Knowing God more through sharing in his nature and sharing in his purpose. Our theme scripture for the year, this our year of divine everything, hallelujah, has been 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. And in the New Living Translation, it says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. We have received all of this by coming to know him. Coming to know him. The Message translation says, everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God. Everything God is going to make available to us is made available to us by us getting to know personally and intimately. And that is the journey that we have been on the last few weeks. The book of Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3, that scripture is one that we have constantly visited since we started studying this particular series of lessons. Hosea chapter 6 verse 3, and in the Amplified Version, it says, yes, let us know, recognize, be acquainted with, and understand him. Let me do what I do every week, right? Some people say, well, you can never understand God. How could you ever understand God? He's too mysterious. He's too great. Not if he's the one explaining to us about himself. Not if he's the one who is instructing us about himself. So yes, we can understand God more. We cannot understand everything about God. We cannot fully understand God because we are limited. Finite minds, underdeveloped spirits, fallen world and earthly experience. No, so we cannot fully understand God why we live here. When we get to heaven, we will. Because the Bible says we'll know him as he knows us. Amen. We'll know all things. We'll understand all things. But while we are on this earthly plane, we can understand God more progressively. Progressively. We can know him better this year than we knew him last year, 2 or 3 years ago. We can understand God more this year than we knew him 5 years ago. Yes, we certainly can. And if we couldn't, the Bible wouldn't say for us to. It says, yes, yes, let us know, recognize, be acquainted with, and understand him. So if we couldn't understand him, the word of God wouldn't say, let us understand him. Amen. Let us be zealous to know the Lord, to appreciate, give heed to, and cherish him. I really love this. To appreciate, give heed to, and cherish him. His going forth is prepared and certain as the dawn. He will come to us as the heavy rain, as the latter rain that waters the earth. Now, we're going to jump right back into Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3. And we're going to read that phrase right there that talks about let us be zealous to appreciate God, to cherish him, to give heed to him. What we're learning tonight and discussing tonight is going to center around that. But before we do that, remember, we did identify last week and the week before two requirements for knowing God more. Two requirements for knowing God more. What are those? Number one, a yearning heart that is fully committed to God. A yearning heart that is fully committed to God. And what is the second one? Humility. Humility. Making ourselves insignificant before God and laying aside the significant things of our lives, like Abraham, like Zacchaeus, like the rest of the people who the scriptures show us learned to know God more. I know that last week we studied a lot about this first major way through which we get to know God more, which was knowing God more through habitual fellowship. And we talked about esteeming the presence of God. We talked about dwelling in that presence, being there regularly, valuing it, yearning for it. We talked about what we do in the presence of God, how we minister to God, worship Him, thank Him, praise Him, love on Him. We talk about Abraham, how he ministered to these angels who represented God by cooking a good meal for them. We read in Psalm 50, God said, "If I'm hungry, I wouldn't tell you because I don't eat your kind of food." So how do we minister to God like Abraham ministered to those angels? He told us right then that Psalm 50 says for us to offer thanksgiving to God and to pay our vows, the things that we pledge and the things that we committed to the Lord, to actually follow through with those commitments that we make. We learned through Samuel's experience, young little child Samuel, how he ministered to God around the Word of God. Even though the Word of God was precious in the days in which he lived, the Bible says he ministered to God through the Word of God. He ministered to God around the Word of God. He worshiped God. He prayed to God. He ministered to God. He talked to God. But he stayed around the Word. And of course, we see how in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 21, the Bible says God revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh through his Word. So obviously, Samuel was around the Word. He was ministering to God in his Word. And because he was, it became easy for the door to be opened for God to reveal himself to Samuel through his Word. So we get to know God more through habitual fellowship. We read about Enoch, who walked in habitual fellowship with God. He did the things that were pleasing to God. Amen. He took on the joyous lifestyle of working closely with God, being fellows in the same ship. So fellowship is with God. Amen. And doing the things that pleased him and agreeing with God. We saw Zacchaeus the week before and even last week, that the Bible says he came, when Jesus called him down from the tree, he came down joyfully. He came down joyfully. Cultivating habitual fellowship with God means to be joyful about everything God. To be joyful about everything we do for the Lord. To be joyful in his presence, to be joyful around the things of God, to love to get into his presence. David said, I can't wait to get in your presence, Lord. My flesh, my heart, everything about me is crying out for you, to long for him with our entire beings. That's what it means to be in habitual fellowship. But interestingly, we ended up on this very interesting note where we read about Cornelius. And Cornelius, the Lord revealed himself to Cornelius, but we saw that Cornelius, you know, took time to wait on the Lord in fastings and prayers and things like that. But he also ministered to God by giving to the poor, by giving. And the Lord, when he came in Acts chapter 10, he says, I've remembered your giving. We read these scriptures before. So one of the ways we minister to the Lord is giving to the poor, giving to the kingdom of God, giving to other people. Why? Because God is a giver. And we read that scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, where it says, God is not willing to abandon or to do away with someone who is a cheerful giver, someone who is a prompt to do it giver, whose heart is in his giving. You wonder why God gets close to givers? It's because he is a giver. And I know that we closed out. I was making a statement. I want to make that statement again. Please don't be offended. But it is absolutely true that if you do not love to give, you cannot know God more. No, you cannot. If you do not love to give. I did share one of And for most people who give, they will say the same thing. Those people who give with their hearts, people who give cheerfully, they will tell you they feel really close to God through their giving. When I give, and I love to give, giving is one of my favorite spiritual exercises. Amen. I believe in the power of the seed. I give, yes, to reap a harvest. I give to receive back. But I give because I love. I give because I love. And when I give, there's a presence of God. And it's even difficult to explain. It's this, it's a glorious presence of God around me. Just a precious blessing that I always experience when I participate in that spiritual sacrifice of giving. So we saw Cornelius, and I was saying before we closed out last week, one of the greatest hindrances to any believer knowing the Lord is their willingness to be cheerful givers, to be liberal givers. If someone is not a liberal giver, if they are stingy, and I mean, I'm not going to get myself distracted, but I'm going to say this to you. I mean, if you have to measure everything so close, so tight, everything to the last cent and to the last penny, and you know, hopefully you do tithe and hopefully you do give. But if you have to measure everything like, oh, I can't afford to give 1 cent more, then you are not going to know God more. You are limiting yourself from receiving a revelation of God. Because God is a yafun yafun. We call him a yafun yafun giver. He gives freely, abundantly. He just gives. God just gives. If God anoints you, you won't just put one drop of oil and measure it. Amen. Remember the psalmist said in Psalm 23, might be verse 5, I'm not sure now. He said, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. My cup runneth. God won't just put one dab. Let's save the rest of it. No! He'll pour the whole thing. Hallelujah. And the Bible says about the anointing in Psalm 133. He says it's like talks about the blessing of brethren dwelling together in unity is like the oil, the precious oil that is poured upon the head of the priest. It flows all the way from the top of his head all the way to his garments, to the skirts of his. I mean, there's power in that overflow anointing. And God dwells right in there. God dwells right in there. So let me say that again. One of the ways we cultivate habitual fellowship with God, becoming more like God, is even in our giving. Becoming more liberal. More liberal. Come on, give a bit more. Amen. Reach out and bless the poor, and bless the needy, but also bless those who are blessed. Amen. Bless them. Bless those who are blessed, ministers, bless family, bless God's people. Bless God. Give. And be cheerful about it. Rejoice when you give. Be joyful. Be prompt to do it. Let your heart be in it. Amen. Amen. Some people have this poverty mentality when it comes to giving. Oh, you know, everybody else has more. Well, everybody else will always have more than you if that's the way you think. You got to give your way out of poverty. You've got to give your way out of lack. And the way you do is you stop measuring it according to the little that you got. You can give beyond. Don't turn me out now. This will help you. Some say, well, just talk to us about knowing God. We don't want to talk about giving. Well, part of knowing God is giving. It's learning to give, learning to be liberal. Hallelujah. Because when you are liberal, you show love. You show love. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. This is where we're going tonight now. We want to get into the second major way through which we get to know God more. The second major way. What is that second major way? It is knowing God more through desire and zeal. This is not difficult to understand. This is not difficult to relate with. And you see why I said try to connect giving and loving, right? Because it takes love to give, to really give and to give cheerfully, to give from your heart. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. Amen. God so loved the world that he gave. Well, zeal, knowing God more through desire and zeal. Desire and zeal really are in that love zone. And this is very easy to understand, right? Think about natural relationships. Think about human relationships, right? It's difficult enough understanding our own selves. Do you feel that way sometimes? Like, you know, sometimes it's tough just to even understand your own self, to know your own self. Sometimes a lot of work just feels like a lot of work. How much less trying to know somebody else? I mean, so much work to know your own self that sometimes it just feels it's not worth it trying to know other people. Come on, it's not worth it. It's not worth the trouble. It's not worth the investment. It's not worth the time. So much work. And yet, if you love someone, one of the ways you are going to find yourself subconsciously or consciously expressing that love is in a desire to know them more, in a desire to better understand them. Why? Because you want to have a good relationship with them. So that love will compel you to know them more. And you'll be seeking information, you'll be seeking helpful things that can help you. I mean, do this and you find out, oh, they really liked that. Oh, that was good. Okay. All right, I'm going to keep that in my mind. I know that's one of the things they love, one of the things they enjoy. So, yeah, because I want to know them more, I'm going to make sure, because it's an investment, but it's an investment that is worth the price because there is love. And knowing God more requires that we have a desire for God, that we love God, and that we are zealous for God. We're zealous for God. Go back with me to Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3 in the Amplified. He said, yes, let us know, recognize, be acquainted with, and understand him. Let us be zealous to know the Lord. Then it describes what he's talking about, being zealous. He says, to appreciate him, to give heed to him, and to cherish him. To appreciate him, to give heed to him, and to cherish him. To cherish him. That's love. To love God. When we love God, we have zeal for God. Amen. Amen. Zeal is a Greek word, zelos. Zelos. It's a Greek word. And we've talked about this before, earlier on in our studies, before we got into these four major ways, I think earlier on in this series of teachings, we talked about what zeal is. Zeal is like heat. It's described as heat or ardor or jealousy or a fervent mind. It's an excitement of mind, a fervent spirit. Is zeal and ardor in embracing, pursuing, or defending anything. To have zeal on behalf of a person, for a person, or for a thing. The fierceness of indignation. All of this show deep, fiery passion and desire. That's what zeal is. It's powerful passion. It stems out of love. I like a small definition that I put out here. Zeal is a burning passion to do something for someone. Zeal is a burning passion to do something for someone because we love them. It's remember Jeremiah I didn't check out that scripture, but you remember where he says, it's like fire in my bones. It's almost like you can't keep it quiet. It's just tearing you up. You know, you can't sit still because you've just got to do something with this thing within you. That's what zeal is. Zeal is just a burning passion to do something for someone. Now, zeal is one of the ways in which we get to know God more. When you have a zeal for God, you come into easy access to the revelation of God. You come into easy access to the knowledge of God because you have a zeal for God. You have a burning passion for God. Oh, child of God, pray for yourself tonight as we go through this study. Father, help me to develop a greater zeal, deeper burning passion for you and for the things that concern you in Jesus' mighty name. Make it your prayer. More zeal, more love, more fervor, fervency, amen, will grant you easy access to the revelation of God. Look at the people that the Bible described had a zeal for God. The Lord Jesus Christ. Remember how the Bible talked about he had a zeal for God. But first he told us everything begins from loving God. Everything begins from the deep love that we have for our Heavenly Father. You remember, let's read this. Mark chapter 12 from verse 28. Somebody came and asked him look at what he said to him. You know this scripture, Mark chapter 12 from verse 28. Mark chapter 12 verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. This is the most important assignment that God has given to man. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and all thy strength. Amen. That is the foundation of everything. Without a love for God, we can't know God. Just like we can't know someone, another human being, we can't grow in knowledge of that human being without a love for that human being. Love is foundational. And zeal is an outflow of love. Zeal is something that oozes out. If you like, you can say is like when love is overflowing, one of the things that pours out, that flows out, is zeal. It's a burning passion to do something for that one that you love. Because God so loved the world that he gave. He so loved, that means he was overflowing in love, that he had to do something for the people that he loved. Hallelujah. He had to do something. Now, let's look at John chapter 2 and verse 17. What are we saying here? What are we learning here? To know God more, we've got to have a desire and a zeal for God in order to have access, greater access to the knowledge of God in our lives. We've got to have a greater desire for God. We've got to have a greater love, a deeper zeal for God, a burning passion to do something. Look at John chapter 2, verse 17. This is when Jesus was in the temple. Remember, he went into the temple. Let's read it from, hallelujah. from verse 14. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. From John chapter 2 and verse 14. And he found in the temple, when he went to the temple in Jerusalem, he found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting there. And when he had made a scourge or small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. I mean, Jesus, the people who saw him couldn't believe that this was the Lord. He was gentle. But look at what he was doing here, because he was pushed. There was a jealousy for the house of God, a jealousy for the kingdom of God, a burning passion to see the health and to see the integrity of the kingdom of God. That's what pushed him. Amen. Amen. He says, he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my father's house a house of merchandise. Right? Verse 17. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. The zeal of thine house has eaten me up. Zeal is a burning passion to do something for someone. Jesus went into that temple, and he saw how they were defiling that temple. He saw how all these people turned the temple of God into something entirely different that it was never meant to be. And passion and anger and jealousy and fervency took over him. And he started driving them. I said, don't make my father's house. See, that's a burning passion to do something for someone. And that scripture that they quoted there is actually a psalm of David in Psalm 69. David was just as passionate, was just as zealous for God. Psalm 69 and verse 9. David was just as zealous for God. Psalm 69 verse 9 said, for the zeal of thine house, that's the psalm of David, for the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. Watch this. And, oh, hallelujah, I love this. Oh, I love this. Ah, yeah, I love this. It says, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproached you are falling upon me. Aye. That means if somebody talks bad to God, you take it personally. You are not disconnected from him like that. Where it doesn't matter, they didn't call your name. They only cursed at God. You can just go on your own merry way. Because after all, it had nothing to do with you. The reproaches of them that reproach you falling on me. Anything they do against God, you take it personally. You want to make it right. Anything they say against God that is not right, you want to make it right. You take it personally. Unbelief and things people say about God, that God had nothing to do with it. God killed my child. God sent COVID. God, you take it personally. You say, stop that. Not my God. Not my God. As a kind of person, David, you remember now, right? You do remember when, hallelujah. You remember when Goliath, when the children of Israel were being harassed by this giant Goliath. You remember in 1 Samuel chapter 17? And let's go read it. Let's read a few verses there. Thank you, Lord. Where are we? Halfway through. Glory to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What are we learning about here tonight? We can know God more through desire and zeal. When we have a great desire for God and the things of God, and we have a great zeal for God, a burning passion to do something for God, we have access, easy access to the revelation of God. We do. When you think about David, the Lord, look at this, one of his greatest psalms, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall know. He maketh me to lie. I mean, this is one of the most powerful psalms ever written by any psalmist. It's a personal psalm that expresses a personal relationship that this man had with God who is writing about. But in addition to that, you can tell he knows that God. He knows him. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Because thou art with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. I mean, this man is writing this psalm. This person is expressing his personal relationship with this Almighty God, but he's also talking about that God, the depth of the knowledge that he has about that God. It's like when he wrote in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the enemy, even my enemy, my foes, they came upon me to eat up my flesh." Look, you know, the man is talking about the depth of his relationship with God, but he's also talking about who this God is. Hallelujah. And all of that because he had zeal for God. You remember in 1 Samuel 17 here, and let's read from verse 22. When Goliath was there running his mouth, right? 1 Samuel, let's just read a couple of verses here because my time is going here. Let's read from verse 2. Okay, let's read from verse 20, okay? "And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the right and shouted for the battle. And Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And he talked with them. Behold, there came, and as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spoke according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him, and they were so afraid." Verse 25. "And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up? And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house rich or free in Israel." Verse 26, "And David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine? What shall be done? For to the man that kills this giant and takes away the reproach from Israel." Now listen to what he says now. He says, "For who," oh Jesus, "who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" See, he took it personally. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? See, they didn't call David's name. They didn't call his name. But he took it personally. And when all these people were hiding, all these people were going into hiding, the armies of Israel were going into hiding, David got up. And you remember when his brother came and harassed him and said, "Oh, you have come here again." He said to him, "Hey, is there not a cause? There's something going on here. There's a cause for me to speak up. There's a reason for me to demand change in this situation. I'm jealous for my God. There's a burning passion within me to do something for my God." Verse 28. Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why comest thou down here? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? Okay. I know thy pride. Now he's even accusing him. I know thy pride and the naughtiness, the haughtiness, oh Lord, have mercy, of thine heart. Look at that. The man just wants, he wants to deliver this nation from this embarrassment of this giant, this shame. This is one of the soldiers carrying armor, but he wouldn't even do a thing. He would not even do a thing. And he said, I know your pride. I know you are come down here so that you may see the battle. What battle? There was no battle going on. There was one man, one crazy giant running his mouth. And then there were many people hiding under the rocks. There's no battle. But look, he said, you came to see the battle. David said in verse 29, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? That is there not a cause? Like, isn't this worth somebody getting up for? See, if we can't get up for God, we can know God more. Yeah, I heard that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If we cannot get up for God, we can know God more. If we can show up for God, we can know God more. If we can declare his counsel in the midst of people that do not regard that counsel, we can know God more. Zeal grants us easy access to the revelation of God. This little shepherd boy came into a depth of revelation of God that all those soldiers in that place that were hiding under the rock would never have gotten. Why? Because he has zeal for God. I mean, look at all the Psalms. Which of these people in there wrote one single Psalm? Not one. Not one. If they ever wrote a Psalm, it would be Psalms about how they were hiding under the rock. And this shepherd boy had a revelation of God. Heart-to-heart revelation, to the point where God will see it another time, somewhere, later on in our studies. Because he's a man. I found David a man after my own heart. See, his zeal for God. Say, for he will carry out my counsel. He will carry out my purpose. We'll see later on. We'll see that. He has a zeal for God. And you have a burning passion to do something for God. God reveals himself to you. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Knowing God more through zeal and desire. Through zeal and desire. Listen to how he himself described part of his zeal and part of his desire for the house of God in 1 Chronicles 29. This is a very popular scripture. 1 Chronicles 29. Hallelujah. Ooh, Jesus. Hallelujah. 1 Chronicles 29 from verse 1 to 5. It says, furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God has chosen, is yet young and tender. And the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, the silver for the things of silver, the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, wood for things, onyx, stones to be set, glistening stones and of diverse colors. Moreover, verse 3, watch this, because I have set my affection, this is David now, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared. And he started listing it. His zeal to do something for God made him go out to gather resources for the building of God's house. His zeal his burning passion for God. Look at this young man in the New Testament, Apollos, and what the Bible says about his zeal in Acts chapter 18, verse 24. Acts chapter 18, verse 24. Let's look at this together real quick. Acts chapter 18, verse 24. You should probably read this in the Amplified, but let's read it in the King James first. It says, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord and being fervent in the spirit," that's zeal. "Being fervent in the spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John." Let's stop right there. Let's stop right there. Let's read that in the Amplified. Meanwhile, there was a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, who came to Ephesus. He was cultured. He was a cultured and eloquent man, well-versed and mighty in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord and burning with spiritual zeal. Burning with spiritual zeal. He spoke and taught diligently and accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he was acquainted only with the baptism of John. Hallelujah. You know, when you have zeal, you don't have to know everything. When you have zeal, you don't even have to know everything. That little that you know, the whole world is going to hear about it. When you have zeal, you can't keep a man or a woman who had the zeal of God, you can't keep them quiet. They're going to testify in the church. They're going to testify on the bus. They're going to testify on the street. They're going to testify in their office. You can, the zeal of God consumes you. It burns in your soul. And because of that, it gives you easy access to the revelation of God. Woo! Hallelujah. Zeal and desire will help us know God more, because it gives us easy access to the revelation of God. I want you to listen to these notes as I slowly begin to wrap this up tonight. Zeal is crucial to the process of knowing God more, and it is a function of our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Listen to that. Zeal is crucial to the process of knowing God more, and it is a function of our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 11 in the Amplified. Romans chapter 12. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11 in the Amplified. Look at what it says. He says in the Amplified, "Never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor, be aglow and burning with the Spirit," the Holy Spirit, "serving the Lord." Never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor, be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Listen, zeal is crucial to the process of knowing God more, and it is a function of our relationship with the Holy Spirit. The closer we are to the Holy Spirit, the more we relate with the Holy Spirit, the more we fellowship with the Holy Spirit, the more we are led by the Holy Spirit, the more we respond to the Holy Spirit, the more we grow in zeal, the more we grow in zeal, and the more we grow in zeal, the more access we have to the knowledge of God. Don't you remember that Jesus Christ himself said, the Holy Spirit will bring things to our knowledge, to our remembrance. He said he will reveal the Father. He said he will reveal the Father to us. He would instruct us. He will bring to us the knowledge and the things of the Father and make them available to us. Jesus said he and the Father will make themselves manifest in our lives because of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So when we grow in zeal for God, And our interaction and our relationship with the Holy Spirit is glowing and burning and fervent, we will know God more. We get easy access into the revelation of God. That's from the Holy Spirit, folks. Easy access to the revelation of God. Hallelujah. Pray that the Lord will stir you up. Remember that scripture in Haggai, Haggai chapter 1 and verse 14. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 14. It says, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did the work. They did the work in the house of the Lord their God. Mm-hmm. The zeal of God took over. God stirred up. In fact, I like you read that in the Amplified. Listen to how he puts it. He says, the Lord aroused the spirit of Zerubbabel. He aroused. To be zealous means to be aroused. To have zeal means to be aroused. To lack zeal means to be sleepy and docile. And nonchalant and just ordinary and just, you know, just there. But to have zeal for God is to be aroused. To be aroused. To do something. Say to yourself, I'm going to do something. I'll be aroused and I'll do something for God. Say it. I will be aroused by the Spirit of God and I will do something for God. I will do more things for God and thereby I will gain easy access to the revelation of the knowledge of God in my life. Ooh. Well, pray for yourself. Stir me up, oh God. Help me stir up your gifts in me, in my life. Fan the flames of revival in me. Destroy every lethargic spirit and every lethargic tendency within me. Stir me up, O God. Arouse me. Cause zeal to arise within me. Stir me up to love you with all my heart. Stir me up to seek you first and seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. Stir me up to believe your word. Stir me up to rise up and pray. Stir me up to run with your vision for my life. Stir me up to do something for God. Hallelujah. Zeal. The more you grow in zeal, the more you grow in knowledge of God. The more you grow in the knowledge of God. Stir yourself up. Let's close. Stir yourself up. And the zeal of God within you by using his gifts deposited within you and by testifying about God, especially to the world, unashamedly. Use the gifts that have been deposited within you and by testifying about God, especially to the world, unashamedly. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. Let's close out here. 2 Timothy, where are we? 54, 55 minutes. We got to close here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Say it. I'm growing in zeal. I'm growing in zeal. I'm doing something for God. Come on. Make up your mind. I'm going to do something for God. Something more. Something more. Something more for my God. Something more for my God. Something more for my God. The zeal of God is burning within me. I'm going to do something more for my God. 2 Timothy. Chapter 1 from verse 5. Okay, let's close out here. 2 Timothy. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 1 from verse 5. Well, let's read verse 6. Therefore, I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. He says there in the Amplified, verse 6, that is why I would remind you to stir up, oh, I love this, to stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you, by means of the laying on of my hands with those of the elders at your ordination. Glory to God. Stir it up. Fan the flames. Fan the flames, the embers of the inner fire of the Holy Spirit. Fan it. You fan it. Because the more you fan it, the more you gain access to the knowledge of God. The more, and notice what he says there in that next verse. He said, for God has not, verse 7, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. So one of the ways we stir up and stir up zeal and stir up the passion of God within our lives is to testify unashamedly to the world about God, to not be ashamed to speak up for God, to not be ashamed to testify, not in a way that makes you a nuisance to people, in a way that makes people want to just get rid of you and get away from you. No, but to speak up for the Lord, to be a bold witness for God, to be able to say, I believe in God. Jesus is my Lord. Can I pray for you? Oh, no, God didn't do that. According to his word, he's a good God. The enemy, the thief, comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that we may have life and that we may have it more abundantly. And the more you testify to God, the more you witness to God, the more you grow in zeal, and the more you gain easy access to the knowledge of God. The Holy Spirit himself will reveal more of God to you because you are growing in zeal. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's close out here, beloved. Let's close out here tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the power in your word, revelation, knowledge that has come to us from the Holy Spirit tonight. We give you the glory and the praise. Come on, pray with me, saints, wherever you are. Let's close this out. Lift up your hands to heaven. Father, I pray for myself more zeal, greater desire, greater passion, burning passion in the name of Jesus. Take off every sleepiness, everything that makes me just want to just be uninvolved, uninterested. Take it off. And Lord, stir up. Help me stir up the gift of the Holy Spirit within me. Help me find the flames of the fire of the Holy Ghost. Help me to be a witness for you. Help me to testify to the goodness of the Lord in my generation. I give you all the glory and I give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. We're out of time, saints. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Oh man, I've really enjoyed tonight's service. Wish we could go on, but we've got to stop. Go on and dig into all of this stuff. And I look forward to seeing you next week. God bless you. Good night.